The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Week's Parsha is Parsha's B'Shalach. In the Parsha after the Shira, this week we have the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the going out of Egypt, the Bikias Hayom, the splitting of the Red Sea, and the Shira Hayom, the singing of the song by Moshe and Yisrael. Immediately after the Shira Hayom, the singing of the song by Moshe and Israel. It's in Parsha Tesvav Posuk Chof. It states, "Vatikach Miriam Hanevio, Achos Aaron Esateif Biyodo." Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the tof. The tof, Rashi says, is a klezemer. He's a different, a certain type of musical instrument. In her hand, vateitzenu kol anoshim achareho, and all of the women went after her, b'supim ubim cheles, with their musical instruments. Vatan lahem Miriam, and Miriam sang. It was the type of a chorus where she sang and the women answered. Shura lashem ki goy go'a, sus ferechva yirama vayom. Sing to Hashem, because he is surely so exalted. He took the horse and the chariot, the rider, and he cast him into the sea. Now, there's three questions that we can ask here. Firstly, why is she called Achos Aaron, the sister of Aaron? She's the sister of Aaron and not the sister of Moshe. Should say the sister of Aaron and Moshe. Secondly, where did she get, and all of the women, musical instruments here in the middle of the desert as they were coming to the sea? And thirdly, we find that they sang with musical instruments, but not so with the men. Why not? So the first question that Rashi answers with the Gemara and Masechta Seita, Rashi asks it. He answers it with the Gemara in Masechta Seita, Daf Yud Beis. And we'll go through the Gemara. Gemara brings, it's a long story. Why? But the Gemara brings states, Omar Rabbi Yehuda Bar Bchanino, Omar Rabbi Yosi Bar Bchanino, Shleish Gzeres Gozar. Parai made three decrees. Bitchila, Im Bein Hu Bamita Naisai. First, he told the midwives that when the women give birth, if it's a son, kill it. If it's a daughter, you can leave it alive. That was the first decree he made. And Rashi explains that Pare set up Shemrim guards to see that this was done. Then the second decree he made, Lebesef, Kol Habena Yelod, Hayyorat Ashlihuhu. Now then the second decree he made was not only to the midwives, but to everyone. Ya kol habein hayelod, hayorot hashlichuhu, that all of Israel have to take their sons and throw them into the river, and there he set up guards to watch all of Israel. Ulebeseif, and the third decree he made is vaitzav parei lachol amai. He even commanded his own nation to throw their children, their male children, into the river also. Afilal amai gozar. Why even his own children? Because his stargazers and his chachomim foresaw that on this particular day a Mashiach, a savior for Klal Yisrael is going to be born, and they couldn't tell if he was from the Ivrim, from the Jews, the Hebrews, or from Egypt. So therefore, he was Gezer Afal Amai, even on his own nation. We've spoken in the past as to why he couldn't tell. And the reason is, actually this reason is written in the Sefer from the Tells of Rosh Yeshiva, Rebbe Meir Bloch Zichrein Levracha, but it's also in the Maral. Because Moshe was brought up in the palace of Paray. And Bicha, Bas Paray, the daughter of Paray, had adopted him and called Hamagadol Yosem Kilo Yoldei. And whoever brings up an orphan, it becomes as if it's their own child. The fact is, in Divrei Hayomim, where it mentions the generations, it calls Bicha, she's called by a different name there, as the mother of Moshe Rabbeinu, because she adopted him and she brought him up. So therefore, the stargazers didn't have a clear vision. They couldn't tell if he was a Hebrew or an Egyptian. So therefore, Paray decreed even on his own nation. Then it states, Vayelech ish mi beis Levi. Now, during this time, during these decrees, before these decrees, after the first ones, it says that an ish from the house of Levi went, and he took a daughter of Levi to marry. Lahechen olach, where did he go? He actually went in by the advice of his daughter. Tano Amram Godel Hador Hoyo. Amram was a leader of the generation. Once Paray decreed that every son that was born to the Hebrews you should throw into the river, Omar Leshov Ono Amelim, he says, we are going to labor in vain. Omar Vigirshes Ishtai, so he divorced his wife. Om Dukulam Vigirshes Nishesehen, since he was a leader of the generation, so people followed what he did. So everybody went and divorced their wives. Omra Lei Bitai, so his daughter said to him, now who was his wife? His wife was Yocheved, Bas Levi, the daughter of Levi. And their daughter was Miriam. And Miriam at that time was a young girl. Omrele, she was about 5 years old, 4 years old. Omrele Bitei, she said, Abba Koshik Zeiroscho, Yesu Mishil Paray. Your decrees are more harsh than Paray. She Paray le goza el ala zuhorim, vato gozata ala zuhorim vala nekebas. Paray only decreed on the male children. You made a decree now on both the males and the females. Paray only made a decree in this world, because the children, if they are killed in this world, they still will have olam haba, a portion in the next world. But you have decreed your gzeiras in this world and in the next world, because if they're not born, then they won't have a portion in the next world. Paray harosha sofik miskayemes. Paray, who's a Rosha, so how do you know his decree will be long-lasting? Gzeirosai, sofik miskayemes, gzeirosai, sofik eina miskayemes, hatot satik. But you who are so righteous, bevade shigzeirosko miskayemes, your decree will be long-lasting, will be fulfilled. Shenema v'tigzar eimem v'yokam loch. It states that when a tzaddik decrees, Kodesh Baruch Hu listens. So this is what his daughter told him. Omad behiks. So he went and he brought his wife back. Om dukulan ve'exiras nishasehen. So everyone went and they took their wives back. Vayikach bayachsor miboile omar vir basvina shosle maisle kuchin ashiva beperium ve'aren umiriam meraktin lefanecho. What does it mean, vayikach? It means that he made a new kedushin, made a new chasna. And Aaron and Miriam, danced before them. Umalachi Ashoris Omru Eim Abonim Shmecha. And the Malachim were there. And they said, Eim Abonim Shmecha, the mother of the sons, should be filled with joy. And then the Gemara goes further and says it was a great miracle because the daughter of Levi at that time, Yocheved, was 130 years old. This was the first generation since the Shvatim, since the 12 Shvatim. And she was 130 years old, and she was born just as they came into Egypt. And how was she able to have a child? And it calls her a Bas. Bas means a daughter. This refers to a young girl. So a miracle took place where Shenolda by Simon Inares, she returned to her youth, she conceived, and gave birth to Moshe. And then they saw that this Moshe, this baby, was someone very, very special, because it states that they saw he was Tov. And Tov, that's the best description. Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world. He allowed the world to exist because he saw everything was Tov. And the house was filled with light, so forth. And the daughter, Miriam, before this, told her father that Osid Imi, that my mother is going to have a child, and he will become the Goel. He will become the Redeemer of Klal Yisrael. So when he was born, the father went and kissed her and said, you're a great prophetess. Then the story goes that the soldiers were looking for babies to kill, and the mother went and made a basket for him and put him in the river and so forth. And then the father came to Miriam and he said, where is your prophecy now? What's going to become of it? So this is what it states. I would deceive Batesatza Vachese Meirochek, that after they put the baby in the river, Miriam went to watch, Ledeo Maye Oseloi, to know what will become of it, Leda Maye Besef Nivoso, to know what will become of her prophecy. So the Gemara says that's what it's meant here, Vatikach Miriam Anavia Achos Aaron, that Miriam, the prophetess, who was the sister of Aaron, because at the time of this prophecy, she was only the sister of Aaron and not the sister of Moshe, because she prophesied before Moshe was born that Osid Imi, that my mother is going to give birth to a child, and he will become the Redeemer of Klal Yisrael. That answers our first ayora, our first observation. This is what Rashi brings. Why does it say Vatikach Miriam Anavio Haches Aaron? Because when she was she a prophetess? When she was the sister of Aaron before Moshe was born. Now, the second question. Where did they get the musical instruments from? So Rashi asked that, and he answers it. He doesn't say where his source is, but the source is in the Medrash Yalkut Shimoni. And on that, Rashi says, Muftoches hoyu tzidkoni yeshemidor, the righteous women of the generation, they were confident, Shakorish Baruch Hu eiselehem nisim, that when they went out of Egypt, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will perform great miracles for them, and it would be a time for song and dance. Therefore, Vahetziu Tupim Mimitzrayim. And therefore, they took their musical instruments with them, so when it will be time to sing and dance to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they will be able to do it properly. This was because of their great bitochen, their great trust, and emuna, faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this answers the second question. Third question, what about the men? So the first two answers refer to the Shvach Hanoshim, praise of the women. The third answer, unfortunately, is an answer which is not so praiseworthy of the men. The men were not so confident. They were not so confident that there'll be a miracle, that they will be saved. And therefore, they did not bring their musical instruments with them. They lacked this confidence. Now, we see here that the women played a strong role. In general, we should know that the women of Klal Yisrael, both many individuals and many times as an entire nation of women, played a very, very strong role in Klal Yisrael, in the formation of Klal Yisrael and in the protection of Klal Yisrael. Just to mention, we in the past I've given shurim on this and we've gone into more detail, but just to mention this very briefly, well, first of all, we had our imos. We had here our matriarchs, Sora, Rivka, Rochel, Leah. Besides the fact that they were wives to the Ovish, Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. And in order to be a wife to Avram and Yitzchok and Yaakov, they had to be on enormous levels. And they were mothers. They gave birth to such giant spiritual giants, the Ovis, Yitzchok, and to Yaakov, and to the Yud Bei Shvotim, the 12 Shvotim, which became the entire basis of Klal Yisrael. Besides that, which that itself is an unequal achievement, besides that, they singly guarded the Yichus, the inheritance, the Yerusha of Klal Yisrael. Because Sora, she was the one who told Abraham when he brought in Hagar, the maidservant, and Hagar gave birth to Yishmael. She said, this is in Pashas Vayira, Chof Aleph Tes, Gorosh es ha'oma azeis, ve'es b'no, chase out this maidservant and her son. Because this son Ishmael will not inherit together with my son Yitzchok. Now Abraham did not consent to this. Had it been up to Abraham, Ishmael would have remained and he would have been a partner in the Yerusha. When we speak of the Yerusha, we're not only talking about the physical Yerusha, we're talking about the spiritual inheritance also. And Avram was very upset because Ishmael was his son. He didn't want to chase him out. Now, can you imagine today that the Klal Yisrael would be taken over by Arabs? And Avram was very, very upset over this. And he didn't want to chase out Ishmael. Hashem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham, Al Yera, don't be upset. Don't let this bother you. Kol asher teimar eilecha Sora shma bekolo. Whatever Sora tells you in this regard, listen to her. The Rashi brings there from the Medrash, we see that Avram Tofel, the Sora binavua, that we see that the level of Sora when it came to Ruach HaKodesh was greater than Avraham. Because HaKodesh Baruch Hu says, Ki bi Yitzchok yikor l'chozora. Because through Yitzchok yikor l'chozora, through Yitzchok your seed will be known, and not through anyone else, not through Yishmael. So we see that Sora saved Klal Yisrael from becoming contaminated with the Arab nations. Now we find the same thing with Rivka, because up to Yitzchok, Yitzchok was going to give the brachos to Esav. Now Esav was the Esav Arosho. This was Edom. This was Amalek. Klal Yisrael would have become Edom. Would have become Edom. Amalek would have become the Roman nation, because he had the brachos of Avraham. And these brachas he was prepared to give to Esav. The Gaon writes that the whole atzloch of Klal Yisrael was reliant and dependent on these brachos. And Rivka said, "Vato b'nish ma b'keili la'asher ani matzav eisoch." This is in Toldos Chovav Ches. And Rivka told Yaakov that even though your father wants to give the brachos to Esav, we won't let him, because that will destroy Klal Yisrael. You must go and steal the brachos from him. And Yaakov didn't want to do that. And she said, "B'ni shma b'keili, you listen to me. You listen to me, la'asher ani matzav eisoch. Listen to me what I am telling you." And she saved all of Klal Yisrael through this. And then we find the giving of the Torah. At the giving of the Torah in Yisrei, Yutes Gimel, it states, "Kol soma levei Yaakov, v'sagid livnei Yisrael." When HaKadosh Baruch Hu was negotiating with Moshe, "Will Klal Yisrael accept my Torah or not? I have to have a commitment, a total commitment." He says, "Torah is nothing like people do today. They say, they say they'll do something, and after a while they back out of it." He says, "I need total commitment, and this is a commitment forever." So Moshe says, "Yeah, they will." "No," he says, "not good enough. You go down and ask them. I want to hear what they're going to say. And you tell them what it's all about." So he told Moshe, "Kosoma leveis Yaakov, v'sagid livnei Yisrael." This is what you must tell the Beis Yaakov, the house of Yaakov, and what you must tell the Bnei Yisrael. So the Chazal asked, who's the house of Yaakov and who are the Bnei Yisrael? It says, the house of Yaakov, that's the Noshim, the women. And the Bnei Yisrael, that's the men. And then the Chazal asked, why does one say, "Kol somar leveis Yaakov"? It uses the word somar, tomar, amira. And when it comes to the Bnei Yisrael, it says saged. It says because when you talk to a woman, you have to talk softly, b'meshech hasalev, draw her close, entice her. When you talk to a man, you put it on the table the way it is. He says, when you talk to the man, you tell them what they have to do and what is the punishment they get if they don't do it. See? Straight talk. Sagit, kosher kigidit. That's how you talk to a man. But when you talk to a woman, amira loshen racho, you have to talk softly. You tell them how good the Torah is and what the great reward is. And don't overemphasize. Don't talk too much about the punishments. This is good etzus. You have to talk to a woman different than men. All right, good. But now there's another question. It states, first it says Beis Yaakov, and then it says Bnei Yisrael. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell Moshe, first Beis Yaakov, first to the women, and then to the Bnei Yisrael, and then the children, to the men? So the answer is, and this is in the Maral, in Feresh Yisrael, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you'll get a better answer from the women than you will from the men. The men you get an argument from. They want to know what's written, or this or that, or so forth and so on. The women, they're more prepared. And once you get a positive answer from the women, then it'll be easier for the men to follow. So he says, therefore, go to the women first, because they will accept the Torah before the men. So here we see, when it came to Matan Torah, the women were in the forefront. Then we see there were the two of the greatest averos, chatoim, that Klal Yisrael committed were Degel Hazav, the golden calf, which was the greatest disloyalty to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Immediately after the giving of the Torah, they went and they worshipped Aved Zorah, idolatry. It was Kikala Shezinsa Besechu Posa. It was like a kala that committed adultery during the 7 days of the celebration. and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to destroy the whole nation. There, says the men, the women were not involved at all. They never worshipped the golden calf, and not only that, when the men wanted to make this golden calf and they were looking for gold, and they went to the women that they should give to them their golden jewelry that they took out of Egypt, the women wouldn't give. The other great Avera was the Maraglim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was bringing them into Yerushas Oretz, bringing them into Eretz Yisrael. And this was his greatest gift to them after the giving of the Torah. They said, we want to see the land first. They lost their trust in it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, well, what do you want to see the land for? I'm telling you, it's a good land. No, we want to see the land. And when they went to see the land, they came back and they said, we can't conquer it. Let's go back to Egypt. And they turned the hearts of all of Israel. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Nismala Asor. This is the final straw. 10 times you've tested me. This time you will die in the desert. And you won't go into Eretz Yisrael. You will wander for 40 years until this generation dies. And your children will go into Eretz Yisrael. And it states that at the end of 40 years, when Yeshua and Kolev, these were the only two, plus the Bnei Levi, the Levim, because they weren't amongst us, that they were prepared now to go into Eretz Yisrael. It states the entire generation died off, and there was not one ish left, one man left, except those exceptions, that was going to go into Eretz Yisrael. So the Chazal say there wasn't one man left, but the women were left. Because the women refused to have anything to do with the Meraglim. When they said that we will appoint a new head to take us back to Egypt, the women said, Tenu lonu achuza, give us our portion in Eretz Yisrael. You can go back, but we're going to Eretz Yisrael. We see further, the whole Malchus, the kingship of Klal Yisrael, came through women. It came through Tomer and Rush. We don't have time to go into this now. We've gone into this before. But it was through the act of Tomer that Peretz was born. And the lineage came from Peretz ben Yehuda. And then it was through Rush, also Rush and Boaz, that David HaMelech was born. We see there were great Yeshuas, great Hatzolas, great miracles, and great savings of the entire nation through women. In Milchamas Sisera, the war of Sisera, the hero was Devorah. In Purim, it was Esther. Hanukkah was Yehudis. So, women have played key roles in the formation, the birth of Klal Yisrael, the formation of Klal Yisrael, the protection of it, and its great Yeshuas. But here in Yetzias Mitzrayim, in particular, here in the going out of Egypt, this whole drama that took place, there also women were in the forefront. For example, like we mentioned, one of the key players here was Yocheved. Yocheved, firstly, was the wife of Amram. It states, Amram Godel Hador Hoyo. Amram was the leader of the generation. She was his wife. And then she became a mother. You can imagine what kind of family that was. She became a mother of Mesha, Aaron, and Miriam. It states that there were Gimel Goalim, three leaders and redeemers. The greatest episode that took place with Klal Yisrael was the coming out of Egypt. This was the entire preparation for Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah. And this was done through Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. And she was the mother of all three. Then, when it states that, it says that Pare, like we mentioned, was decreed that the midwives should kill all of the male children, It states, "Vatirena hamyaldes es Hashem." The midwives fear Hashem. And they didn't do what the king of Egypt told them. And they let the children live. This is in Shmais Aleph, Pasuk Yud Zayin. Now they risked their lives because it wouldn't take much for Paroi, who was a Rosho, an evil man and a dictator, to kill them. But still they defied him. And who were the midwives? Shifra Opur. And who were Shifra Opur? It states, Ishon Bito, Yocheved and Miriam. That's the Gemara we quoted in Sota. So this was Yocheved and her daughter Miriam. And then we see further, Miriam is the one who imposed on her father that he should take Yocheved back after Amram was Magarish, divorced Yocheved, and not only that, everyone in Klal Yisrael divorced their wives because they all followed him. It was Miriam that came and convinced her father that he should take back Yocheved, and not only that brought about the birth of Moshe, but that brought all of Klal Yisrael back together. That brought all of Klal Yisrael back together again. Then also, it states in Chazal, by Tzipora, that Tzipora saved Moshe Rabbeinu in a number of instances. Firstly, that when Moshe ran off to Midian, Medrash writes there that it was Tzipora that saved his life. Secondly, by the bris mila of his son, the serpent came and Tzipora saved him again. So we see that women played a very particular role in the Yetzias Mitzrayim. But the Gemara says in general, and this is also a Gemara in Seita and Daf Yud Aleph on the base. The Gemara says Doris Rav Aviro Vishchar Noshim Tzitkoniyah Shehayu Ba'eis Ador. Through the reward of the righteous women which were in that generation, Nigualu Yisrael Mimitzrayim, Klal Yisrael were redeemed from Egypt. Vishasha Holchesh Lishayb Ma'im. What happened? Why is it because of them that Klal Yisrael were redeemed? When the women would go and draw water, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mizamin Lehem Dogim Tanim B'Kadehem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they'd go to the river to draw water. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would bring them many fish, small fish, in their Kadehem, in their vessels. V'shaveish Mechsemayim Mechsedogim. And there would be half water and half fish. Ubaos v'seif seishteg deres, achashel kamim, achashel dogim. And then they would take, and they would make two pots, a pot of hot water, and then another pot of fish. Umelichis etzel ba'alein lesode. And then they would take all of this, and they would go to their husbands who were in the field, and they were doing the Averis Perich, the enormously hard labor. It states, why is it called Averis Perich? It was a type of labor that breaks a person's body. It's a slave labor. And they would be broken in the fields. So they would come to them towards the evening time when they were finished with their works. And they would wash them, they would wash their feet. And with the oil of the fish, they would rub them down. And then they would give them this fish to eat, this cooked fish. And then they would give them also water to drink. And then they would have a union with them. And in Ben Sfosayim, Rashi explains that between the fields, as boundaries between the fields, there was always covered places. So this is where they would go. And through this, they would give birth to children. Now, they would conceive, and then they would go back home, and then when it would come time for them to give birth, they would go back to the field, and there they would give birth, and they would leave the child there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shaleach Mishmei Morom, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu would send angels. Mi Shemnakir U Mashpira Yisrei Kechayazu Shemashpira Yisrei Sablad. And it would be like midwives that would come and take care of the children and would feed the children there. And the children would grow up in the fields. And the Gemara goes on and brings many droshes on this. And then the Gemara says, when they would grow up and become bigger, this is on the pasuk, Revava Ketzema Chasod Nisaticho, they would grow in the fields like the grass of the field. And then Vatirbi Vatigdali Vatavayi Be'adi Adoim, these are the psukim we say in the Haggadah Shel Pesach. They would grow and become mature. And then when they were mature enough, they would come back home. And Medrash brings that the mothers and fathers would ask them, who took care of you for so long? And they would come back home, so they would say that, look, one Medrash says, a beautiful bocher came, young man, very beautiful, and he took care of me. So they would come back home. Ukishenigla HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Hayom, and when the sea was split, and they saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself on the sea, Heinikiruhu Tchila, they are the ones who recognized him before anyone else. Why? Because they had already seen his malachim, his angels, that took care of them in the fields. And therefore, they are the ones who said, Zekeli bi'anvehu, this is my God, and I shall beautify him. Ze means they pointed with a finger. This is my God bi'anvehu. The Gemara brings that in bishus of this, of what the women did, the Noshim Tzitkonies, Zoche Yisrael lebizas Mitzrayim, they were zeche to the wealth of Egypt. As it states, Kanfe Yena, this is a posuk in Tehillim. The posuk is in Kapitel Samach Ches. It states, Kanfe Yona Nechapa Bakesef, the wings of the Yona, of the dove, is covered with silver, Vevreseha Birakrak Chorutz, and her wings are covered with a pure gold. So it's referring to the beauty of the dove, and the dove refers to Israel. They were zeicha, because of this, they were zeicha to the wealth of Egypt. So this is the story, b'kitzur, concisely, that the Gemara brings. Therefore, b'schus, noshim tzitkonies, in the schus of the righteous woman, nigualu Yisrael mimitzrayim, so klal Yisrael were redeemed from Egypt, and also they were zeicha to all of this wealth. Rashi in Chumash, in Parshas Vayakel, he brings also from the Medrash similar to this. A few weeks we'll be learning Parshas Vayakel. This is the Maleches HaMishkon. The building of the Mishkan, of the sanctuary, and at the end of the parsha it states in Perek Lamed Ches, Posuk Ches, Vayase Sakio Nechoshes Beskane Nechoshes, they made the kior, this was the fountain out of copper, and its base out of copper, b'mareis hatzeves asher tzovu pesach ohel moed, with the mirrors, the copper mirrors of the armies, which they stacked up by the pesach ohel moed. So the general pshat, the general meaning is that they were like an army of mirrors, copper mirrors. But Rashi brings the drosha. B'nei Yisrael hoye biyodem mare shereis behen kishem miskashtos. The daughters of Israel, they had copper mirrors, And they used these mirrors when they beautified themselves. When Moshe asked for contributions for the Mishkan, and he said he needed copper, so they came and they donated their mirrors. Moshe didn't want to accept them. He says, how can you take these mirrors, which he says are asuim li yetzohara, they're made for vanity, they're made for yetzohara, and we'll put these mirrors right in the Mishkan? He said, how can we do that? So therefore he rejected it. Omele HaKadosh Baruch Hu kabel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, don't reject it, take them. Ki elu chavivin alai min hakol. He says, these contributions of these mirrors are more chaviv, are more dear to me than all of the other contributions. Shal yedeyam ehamidu anoshim tzevos rabbeis b'mitzrayim, because it was through these mirrors that the women brought up armies in Egypt, armies of children. When their husbands were broken from the slave labor, they would go out to the fields to meet them, and they would bring them food and what to drink, and they would give them to eat. And then they would take the mirrors, and they would look at the mirrors together with their husbands, and they would tell their husbands, look how beautiful I am. And through this, they would entice their husbands, and they would kindle their desires. And through this, armies of children were born. Now, this is what it's meant, that they brought the army of mirrors, not armies of mirrors, but they brought the mirrors that brought armies to Klal Yisrael in Egypt. And then Rashi says they were used dafke specifically for the Kiyor and Kanei, for this fountain. Why? Because the Kiyor v'Kanei, one of its usages, well, it was used all the time when a Kohen would go to be makriv al mizbeach, to bring a sacrifice to the mizbeach, so there would be the richeitz yadayim raglayim. He would wash his hands and feet from there. But it had another use also, that when there was a dispute between a man and his wife, where the man claimed that the wife was disloyal to him, and she claimed she was not, so, and the man didn't want her back, so through the waters she could be tested. The Kohen would test her, and through this, shalom, peace and unity, would be brought between man and his wife. So that's what Rashi says. He says, and therefore there were nase akir mehem shush losh sum shalom bein ish li ishtoi lahashkois mimayim shebeseichai lemi shekino labaylo v'nistero. Now, the fip shutei, in accordance to the simple sense, what was the great achievement here? The great achievement would be, is because Peruvable, they brought into the world many, many children, armies of children. But still we can ask, but why was Bishus there, through this Chus, Nigualo Mimitzrayim? Why was it through this Chus, Klal Yisrael was redeemed? Oh, it was through this Chus that Klal Yisrael was Nisrabe, grew so great in number. But why was it that through this Chus they were redeemed, and also they conquered Egypt in totality, where they even became Bailim, owners of all of their Kesev and Zov, their gold and silver? This we have to understand. So we could answer Lifi Pshute, we could answer it in a simple sense, that if it wasn't for them, maybe the whole generation would have died out. They were in Egypt a long time. The slavery lasted a long time. And the men were becoming down and broken. So it could be that after a number of years, there would have been no nation left. And then there would have been no one to take out. So therefore it was Bishus Noshim Atzitkonies, through the righteous women, we were zecher to geula. We were zecher, we merited the redemption. But the Maral says deeper. This is in the Gemara in Saita. He says it in his Kiddush Yagodis and also in Gvuras Hashem. I believe Perek Mem Gimel. He says we're not speaking here of number. That also, but that's not the main emphasis here. We're speaking here of Madrega, of levels. Many times the Gemara refers to the Derei Shel Yetzer Mitzrayim. Those who went out of Egypt and went through the sea, they were holding on enormous levels. And this is what we're speaking about. And they were holding on enormous levels to be Zeichel LeGeula, to merit the redemption. And it was these women, through these women, that these levels were produced. Why is that? What do we see from this? From this we see the enormous loyalty and the dedication and the great desire of the women to be together with their husbands. And that they were not unfaithful to them. They didn't go after the Egyptians. And even though their husbands were down and out, what would happen in a goyish world in such a situation? The wives would have left them. Finished. Husbands were broken. They were enslaved for years and years and years. Every day they were subjected to slave labor. They had nothing to offer their wives anymore. Their wealth was taken away from them. Everything. So the wives would have left. And what does it tell us? It states, Nus achaso iso b'mitzrayim, upirsima akosu. And the whole time, 210 years that they were in Egypt, there was one act of unfaithfulness. And the Torah writes about it to let us know this was the single act. And even this was through a mistake, through an error. So not only do we see that they did not forsake their husbands or were disloyal to them even though their husbands were down and out and broken, but we see still the ultimate in dedication and loyalty and desire to be with their husbands. Now, what does this mean? He says, this is the yesod and the soul. This is the foundation and the secret of the zivug of what marriage is by Klal Yisrael. He says, marriage by Klal Yisrael, the zivug, is the actus, the singleness, the oneness. And this actus, this is not a physical actus. He says, you can't take two physical beings and make one out of them. That you can't. They always remain two. But this actus is a spiritual actus. It's a spiritual unity. And it's higher than the physical level. And what is this built on? This is built on where there's a total faithfulness and dedication and giving over and love to each other. The raya to this, the proof to this, is what a Chazal tells us. That a Kodesh Baruch Hu takes a letter of his name, the Yud, and he puts that in Ish. And then he takes a letter of his name, another letter, Hey, and he puts it in the Isha. And with these two letters and the power of his name, he's Ma'achid. He unifies them. So we're not speaking of a physical unity, we're speaking of something far higher, a spiritual unity, a spiritual oneness. And this is what we witness there. That in the worst of circumstances, they refused to give up their loyalty and dedication to their husbands. This was the greatness of the Noshim Atzikonias. Because of that, the children that they gave birth to, that are coming from such a unity, which is built from the Yud and the Hey, the Chibur, the unity of Hashem's name, were on that level also. And this was the Dor Shel Mitzrayim, the generation of Egypt. And therefore, we were Zeche Legula. Therefore, that generation merited redemption. Why? Because what were they redeemed from? Slavery. Manal says you cannot enslave the spirit. When you enslave someone, you can enslave them physically. But you cannot enslave a spiritual giant. Like we spoke about on Shabbos, it states as long as Yaakov was alive, there was no enslavement. Not only that, even when Yosef was alive and all of the brethren, there was no enslavement because they were spiritual giants. So through this, they gave birth to bonim, to children that were spiritual giants, and therefore they could free themselves from the enslavement of Egypt. Now, because of this also, this is why the Medrash tells us that they are the ones who said Zekeli v'Anvehu. There are different opinions in the Chazal. Who said the Zekeli v'Anvehu? Different opinions. Some said, some hold everyone said, others hold even the Shivcho said, even the maidservant. But the Medrash and the Medrash Rabbah here brings from Rebbe Brachyo that he says the Gemara in Seita that we quoted, the opinion of Rebbe Avira is it was these children are the ones who said Zekeli v'Anvehu, and only these children. Heimi kiruhu tchilo. The others couldn't say it because they weren't on a level. You have to be an enormous level to say Zekeli v'Anvehu, because Zeh means they pointed with the finger and they could recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Medrash brings on the level of Zekeli v'Anvehu. This is in Medrash Rabbah, Pashish Chov Gimel Siman Tes Vov. It states, Boyu Re'ei, Kama Gedolim, Yodei Hayom. Come and see the level of the ones who said Zekeli v'Anvehu. Because Moshe always asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, Hareini Noas Kvedecho, show me yourself. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't show him himself. And only B'Seif at the end, he said, all right. He says, you come by and so forth, and you'll see my back, you won't see my front. And here, they said, Zekeli v'Anvehu. They pointed and said, this is my God. And then he brings that by the Yam, those that said it once, Zekeli v'Anvehu. La'osi lovei, in the world to come, we'll be able to say it twice. V'omad b'yem ahu hinei alekenu zeh ki vinu lei yeshienu zeh Hashem ki vinu lei nogil v'nismachom v'yishua soy. In the world to come, we'll be able to say zeh twice. So what we see from here is it's not so easy to point your finger and say this is God. But these children were able to do that. This was because of the enormous level that they were brought to. And this is why also we understand what Rashi says, that these mirrors were used for the copper kior, fountain, because that one of its major purposes was to bring Sholem Bein Ish L'Ishtei, that's the Achdus, the oneness. And this is what these mirrors represented, the oneness between Isho Bailo. And we have a similar Gemara to this, where the Gemara says in the Dorim, Dav Chof Amad Beis, Leah told Rachel, she said, this is when they were negotiating over the plant. So she said to Rachel, I'll give you the plant, but Yaakov must come to me tonight. And she ran out to meet him, and she said, Eli Tovay, you come to me tonight. And they go, it says, Vateitse Leah. Leah went out and said, Eli Tovay. And the Gemara brings that in that skus, because that showed her great desire to be with Yaakov. So the Gemara brings in that skus, who was born? Yisachar. And what was Yisachar? Yisachar was Hamor Goram. Yisachar was the Madrega of Torah. He was like the donkey that never rests, always travels by day and by night. Another animal, you have to bring him into the barn and get him warm and so forth. The donkey carries on. This is the Ol HaTorah, the yoke of the Torah. Because of that skus, she gave birth to Yisachar. And on the children of the Yisachar, it states, Umenei Yisachar Yodei Bino. They had the greatest intellect when it came to understanding Torah. One final note, and the Maral says this is why the Gemara brings a posuk that there was Zeche to the Bizas Mitzrayim, to all of the gold and silver of Egypt. And in other words, this means that they totally became their masters over them. Like Yosef became the master over Egypt. This was the Shikra becoming freed from them. So it uses the marshal, it uses the comparison of a yonah, of a dove. What does it say? It says the posuk is Kanfe Yonah Nechapa Bakesef, the wings of the yonah, of the dove, is covered with silver. Vebreseha biyarakrak chorutz, and its wings with pure gold. Why the dove? See, because the Chazal tell us that the dove is different than other birds. Other birds, when one loses its mate, it goes to look for another mate. The dove, when it loses one of its, when it loses its mate, they'll never take another mate. In other words, when they take a mate, either the zohar or the nekeva, the male or the female, it's forever. And if they lose one, if one loses the other, they'll never take another mate. So it shows that their zivuk, their union, is in totality. And this is why it uses that example. So this is what the Gemara means when it says, Omar Avaviro b'skus noshim tzidkonias, b'schar noshim tzidkonias, and the skus of the righteous women, Klal Yisrael was Eche to the Gula, Gulas Mitzrayim, the redemption of Egypt. So, we see that not only did women play a key role in many, many key places in the formation of Klal Yisrael, but here also in the Yetzias Mitzrayim.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.